I can't overestimate how important it is for us with the missionaries that we are supporting to know what they're doing, to understand the challenges that they're facing, to know the names of the people they're ministering with, even if we butcher them, even if we're not exactly sure how to pronounce them, to know the cities and to know the names and to pray specifically and to pray earnestly. It's really hard to partner together with someone if all you know is that they're over there someplace doing something. And so I appreciate the detail, every detail. And that's why we want to read their prayer letters and understand what it is they're doing. And we want to send them back. We want to send them back with our prayers. So I appreciate that very much. I've had the opportunity to introduce Brother Forrest in Sunday school and Brother May Sunday morning. So I want to introduce our speaker this evening. Some of us had an opportunity to meet this couple at the end of January. They were with us just one Sunday evening. And we're very thankful to have them back. I'm not going to go into the story of how we got to know them, but just suffice it to say it had something to do with them meeting my mother-in-law and my mother-in-law giving them my phone number. And they contacted us and found out that we crossed paths at BJU. I'm quite confident we were in classes together, even though we didn't know one another. And so we are thankful to have Aruj and Pat Jugsujinda with us. They are Thai. They both grew up in Bangkok. They understand that gap that you have to bridge because they were raised that way. They were raised as Thai Buddhists in Bangkok, and the Lord, by His grace, has saved them. And after ministering in several different places and pursuing advanced seminary degrees, Brother Aruj just completed a Doctor of Ministry degree at Bob Jones University, and they're preparing to go back to Bangkok and to serve the Lord there. And we'll find out a little bit more about them when they have the opportunity to present their ministry, but I'm going to ask Brother Aruj to come and share the word with us tonight.
Good evening. Greeting in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Excited to be here during this mission conference, because we are in the heart of God. Our mission is in the heart of God. First of all, I would like to thank Pastor Ben Smith for giving me this opportunity to come and share what is in my heart, the Great Commission in about Thailand. And Pastor McPhil, from yesterday and this evening, he said, which will be overlapping what I'm going to say. But I believe what I'm going to say tonight is going to be reaffirming about his experience in Cambodia and Thailand. Yeah, Thailand is a needy country of the gospel of our Lord and Savior and Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord that in 2010, the Lord led me to study at Bob Jones University, and I graduated last year in 2016. And in 2017, I was with the Mission Board, Biblical Ministry Worldwide, and I'm on deputations. So I'm heading back to my home country. I was born and raised in Bangkok, Thailand. But by His providence, the Lord saved me when I was young. I was young and I accepted Christ here in the state. So I have experience, and I was exposed to Christianity from a very young age. And the Lord, ever since, has led me to have a hunger for the Word of God, to have a desire to reach the Thai people, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Currently, I'm on full-time staff at the BJU print shop, and I'm traveling during the weekend for my deputations. Hopefully, if my race and support reach 50%, I will quit the job and I will be on full-time deputations. If the Lord willing, my heart desires, by this time next year, I would like to see myself in the field of Thailand and reaching the Thai people. I was born and raised in Bangkok, and my burden and my great desire is to return back to Bangkok. It's a big city of 8.5 million people, with 14 million people in the Bangkok metropolitan area. So it's a big city, but it's lost. It's in the trap of materialism and they worship idols. They're in very sinful lifestyle. But the gospel is needy. It's needed in Bangkok, Thailand. So I want to obey the call of God. God sent me and to reach my people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think there's nothing that is in the heart of God than the Great Commission. To do mission, to evangelize, and to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will be telling about myself more on Wednesday, and today I just want to give a message which is going to be related to the Thai mission field. So I want to go ahead and present my PowerPoint presentation. So today we're going to take a look at what has been called the Great Commissions in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. Says that, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So shall we look together to the Lord in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your divine presence. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And thank you, Lord, that we have this privilege to call you as Father, and that you have saved us from our from our sinfulness, and you have transferred us into your kingdom of your children in Christ Jesus, and that we can call you Abba, Father. And thank you, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit into our heart, and that we can experience your love and joy. And it's a comfort to know that you are with us and that we can pray to you. And thank you, Lord, that you commission us to go into all the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all nations and to all people. May this time together, in Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So this passage says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." This is a commandment, a commission for us to go into all the world. As God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to die for us, Jesus Christ, he himself is God, and he enjoyed the fellowship with the Father from eternity. But at the appointed time, among the Trinity, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, so that we can become reconciled to him, so that we can be conformed into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of sin of Adam and Eve, the fall of Adam and Eve, man was separated from God because of sin. That's why God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. There is no other way to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, but the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Thailand is in the 1040 window, which is a term referring to the group of people that is unreached. So Thailand is still considered to be an unreached mission field. An unreached mission field referring to a group of people that has not been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel in Thailand has not been penetrated into the Thai soil, even though Christianity has been in Thailand for almost two centuries. So in my paper, I asked the question why the gospel has made just little progress in Thailand with 0.58%. So we have estimated that far less than 1% is Christians, 0.58%. That is a very small number. And Jesus Christ is foreign to the Thai people. They have no concept of a personal God. They don't have a personal concept of sin. So it's good that we come back to and ask the question, what is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is to glorify God by making Christ-like disciples for Jesus Christ, and to glorify God by proclaiming the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is nothing that glorifies God than making disciples for Christ Jesus, bringing people to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and proclaiming the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe in the statement of the Biblical Ministry Worldwide, the mission agency that I'm affiliated with. It says that our purpose is to serve the Lord and local churches by establishing, reproducing churches through evangelism, discipleship, and leadership development. So my heart cry is to be involved in evangelism in Thailand. I want to be involved in discipleship in Thailand. I want to be involved in training the national in Thailand. Before I came to the state, I was involved as a teacher in the Bangkok Bible College for many years. So when I go back, I will be teaching at a seminary for one class per semester. But my full focus will be in church planting in downtown Bangkok. My heart is to reach the middle-class Thai Buddhists in Bangkok, Thailand, for Jesus Christ. I want to train the national for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe that I cannot reach the whole country of Thailand by my own self. So the Lord has put into my heart to train leaders as myself so that they can reach other people, so that they can reach the whole country of Thailand. I believe Pastor McPhil has rightly said that the mission field in Thailand is open wide. The mission field in Thailand is ripe for harvest. The doors of evangelism is swung wide, and there is no persecution. There's a freedom of religions. You can preach the gospel in Thailand. So evangelism involving two dimensions, evangelism and discipleships. We cannot have one without another. We cannot have just only evangelism without having discipleship. Discipleship and evangelism need to go together like a train rail. They have two sides. It needs to go side by side, evangelism and discipleship. And we will start with the first dimension. The Great Commission is to glorify God by making Christ-like disciples of all nations. The task before us is not simply announcing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is making disciples for Jesus Christ. There has been much going on that announcing, but not so much on making disciples of Jesus Christ, which I will mention later on, that this dimension is lacking in Thailand. Discipleship making is lacking in Thailand. That's why Christianity in Thailand is weak. It's shallow. It's like a 1 mile wide and 1 foot deep. So it's not so much on discipleship. The phrase in verse 19, teach all nations, go into all nations, can be translated as making disciples of all nations. The focus before us is not simply announcing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's making disciples for Jesus Christ. So as you go, make disciples. So, and every Christian is a missionary. So I don't see myself only a missionary, but everyone here in this congregation is a missionary for the Lord. Whether you are a missionary working in your workplace, you are a missionary. Whether you are working in the place where I cannot go, God is placing you there as a missionary. So as you go, make disciples. The use of the term disciple is chiefly from the scriptures. And the term disciples mean to make someone into a learner or follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Early in Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, Jesus Christ called certain men to be with him and to follow him. And he spent time with his disciples, and he committed himself in making disciples. He spent time with the 70, the 12, and the 3 for 3 years. They were called those who turned the world upside down. The 12 disciples, just 3 of them, they have no educations, but they were with Jesus Christ. And they have the fire of God in their heart, the affection for Jesus Christ. They were able to turn the Roman world upside down with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, says that, "And the things that thou hast heard me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach other also." So after they place their saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to disciple them in Christ Jesus. And this process can take a lifetime. It's not enough to spend time on church on Sunday or in a class, but it needs to be on one-on-one discipleship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that we want to train them to grow as genuine follower of Jesus Christ. And we want to train them for Christian ministry so that they will be able to witness for Christ to their own people. I believe the best people to reach the Thai people is the Thai people, because they know the culture, they know the lifestyle of the people. And I want to look at the hindrance of Thai discipleship. The first hindrance of Thai discipleship is that many have remained nominal Christians. And most new Thai converts do not enjoy Christian upbringing. Many of them come from a very strong Buddhist animist background. Many of the Thai Christians remain nominals Christians. One of the reasons why many of them remain nominal Christians is that they do not take discipleships and the gospel seriously, because of the Thai values and the Thai culture. Mai Pin Rai, take it easy, a cool heart. So that's why they take the gospel and disciple not very seriously. And we want to teach them to be a follower and savior of Jesus Christ. It's not easy for Thai people to come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of their Buddhism background, because of their proud of their Thai cultural heritage. And most Thai Christians receive pressure from their family members and misunderstanding from their friends, and being treated as someone who abandoned their culture. It's not easy for Thai people to come to Christ. They will be ridiculed, they will be made fun of, they will be marked as someone as a traitor of the Thai culture and the Thai king. And it's risky for them to come to Christ. And the second hindrance of Thai discipleship is that the Thai former worldview, belief, and practices have been deeply ingrained in their culture. So the concept of karma and merit have deeply embedded in the foundation of Thai Buddhism. So Thai is very strong in Buddhism, and it's very difficult for them to come to Christ. So what we do? We must rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit as we disciple them for Christ, to obey God's word with the power of God's Spirit. as they learn the teaching of the Bible, when they know God more intimately, and when they apply biblical truth in their life, they can change from their Buddhism worldview, and they will gradually change, and they will gradually throw away the objects of idol worship. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God, to idols, to serve the living and to the true God." So the Apostle Paul here, he portrayed a clear picture of the Thessalonians, how they showed their true conversion, a genuine conversion. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. So the idols in Thailand, they have eye cannot see, they have ear cannot hear, and those devotees go to them and pray for help. But those idols, they cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot answer their prayer. So my great heart desires that the Thai people will know this God of the Creator. He is the true, and He is the living God. And most often it seems difficult for the Thai people to make that decision, to remove their charms and amulets and charm they put around their wrists. I believe that it will give good luck and protection. In Thailand, we call it Sai Sin. And they put around their, sometimes around the neck, around their wrist. But most of them who cling to Buddhism, to idol worship, tend to go back to the old religious lifestyles when they face trials and difficulties in their life. But as marked as a genuine conversions, the new convert should throw away all objects of idol worships because of submission and faith to the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He is not only our Savior who saved us, but Jesus Christ, He is our Lord. So we need to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Submit and obey the kingdom of God. And have faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ will come again, the rapture of the church. And we will enter into a millennium world. I believe we are living in the last day. And the gospel needs to go out fast. I believe in this last day, God will do a quick job. I believe the Lord will do a quick job in Thailand with a population of 70 million people. I want to see church being planted all over Thailand. Many national leaders are being disciples. And the gospel in Thailand will call, not a Buddhist nation, will be called a Christian nation. Praise the Lord. And the second dimension, the Great Commission, is to glorify God by proclaiming the good news to all people. Thailand has been evangelized for almost two centuries. Thailand, with a population of 69 million people, are 93% Thai Fork Buddhists, which I will explain to you later on Wednesday what is Thai Fork Buddhism mean. We have estimated that far less than 1%, 0.58%, professed believers, and most Christian has been mostly accepted among the marginalized tribal peoples and not among the Thai Buddhist majority. So when missionaries go to Thailand, they don't go to the city, to Bangkok. They want to go up north to Chiang Mai and to the rural area. So Bangkok is a city is untapped with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hard, just like Pastor McPhail said, it's hard because the people there is very busy. They have a very busy life in Thailand. Because of the big city like Bangkok, I will take people out for coffee and for lunch, and I will spend time with them in fellowship and discipleship with them to briefly meet for discipleship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I begin explain to them. So I go to them in their workplace. I don't wait for them to come to us into the church, but I go into the workplace and I spend time explaining the Bible and witness to them about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the problem lead us to ask why Christianity has been in Thailand for almost two centuries. Why the gospel has made just little progress in Thailand. So I'm going to move to the second point. The challenges in Thai evangelism. The Thai people way of life is different from the Western culture and the Thai and the traditions. The Thai people are proud of their rich cultural heritage. They are proud of their monarchy, the king. They are proud of the fact that the countries have never been colonized by Western nations, whereas most countries, neighboring country to Thailand, has been colonized by Western nations, except Thailand. It has often been a saying that to be a Thai is to be a Buddhist, just like Pastor McPhail said. And the Thai people do not want to be converted to Christianity. They are proud of their Thai-ness, their identity. It's very strong. They believe that if they convert to another religions, they are the traitors. They will lose their proudness, their Thai-ness. They don't want to lose their Thai-ness. So it's very, very strong. The Thai perceive that Christianity is a religion of Westerners and do not see the need to change to another religions. The Thai people perceive that all religion leads to the same destinations, and that all religion teaches people to be good and to do good things. And you see many times they incorporate the image of Buddha and Saint Mary and Jesus in their idol worship. So Jesus Christ has become one of their God, among other God. But we believe that Jesus Christ, he is unique. He is the Son of God. He is unlike other idols of this world. So it's more risky for the Thai people. It's more risky for them, for those Thai people who are living in a socially accepted Buddhism animistic worldview. And for them, for the Thai people, to step out of that socially accepted worldview is more risky. It's for them. So they do not want to take the risk. They are comfortable in their religions. They are comfortable in their Buddhism. They think themselves they are good people. They never commit a murder. They never go to jail. They never commit adultery. They see themselves as good people. They do not see the need of a savior. So the concept of Jesus, the savior, is foreign to them. And the misunderstanding of Christian terminology, typically used by the missionary. For a Thai person, Christian term just as salvations, born again, grace, justification, and atonement have different connotations altogether than they do in the West. Most missionary to Thailand, with their gospel presentation, they center on the issue of sin, salvation, and God. But the Thai people do not have a biblical concept of sin, of a personal sin, and of a personal God. So we must start with the concept of God as creator. You don't go there and try to witness to them in 5 minutes. You got to make friends. I think the best methods of evangelism in Thailand is friendship evangelism. It takes time and it patience. It can take many years. I praise the Lord that my dad and my mom and my two brother came to Christ. It took me 20 years to see my whole family come to Christ. I will spend time witnessing to my dad. My dad, he is a PhD in agriculture, biochemistry, and he is very strong in Buddhism. And when I witness to him, he thinks about the Bible logically. But I spend time patiently explaining to them about Jesus Christ, about God, that God, he is the creator of the world, and that Jesus Christ, he came and to die for us. And the Thai Buddhists define sin as an act of bad behavior. The Thai people believe that the primary problems of human being does not lie in sinful human nature inherited from the fall of Adam. We as a Christian, we believe that because of the fall of Adam and Eve, that sin has passed on through humanity. But for Buddhism, they believe that sin is a cause of bad karma. Sin is a cause from bad deeds, it's actions. But we as a Christian, we believe that sin is sinful human nature. We are born with a sinful human nature. And the Thai Buddhists define God as a law of karma, cause and effect. They believe that this natural law which governs the earth, the universe, this is God for them. And they reject the concept of a personal God. They say, if there is a God, why there is suffering in this world? And if there is a suffering in this world, this God must not be a good God. So they try to eliminate the concept of God. So they kill God with the philosophy of Buddhism. There is no God, and the answer lies within oneself through self-discipline and meditations. And salvation, Thai Buddhists define salvation as doing good deeds by one's own strength. Their concept of salvation is achieved by man's efforts in overcoming all desire through self-discipline and meditations. They believe that desire is a cause of suffering. So if one to reach nirvana or salvation, they got to get rid of that, to suppress that desire through meditations and self-discipline. But no one can reach nirvana in Buddhism, and only Jesus Christ. And Thai Buddhists define salvation as doing good deeds by one's own strength. And the Bible tells us that the Bible said that all have sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is portrayed in Scripture as falling short of the glory of God, as going astray like wandering sheep. So we all have fallen away from the standard of God. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot meet the standard of God except through Jesus Christ. And sin brings hideous results. Sins affect not only our relationship with God, but sins affect our relationship with one another. So Satan cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus Christ, he's come to give to us and to offer us eternal life in Christ Jesus. Then the Bible declares that God is the creator of all things. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And this is very important scriptures in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Just like Pastor McPhail when he was interviewing the pastor. In witnessing to Thai people, we should start with the concept of God instead of Jesus, God. Especially the creation story, the story from the Old Testament story, especially Genesis 1, chapter 1, and chapter 2. The story of God, creation of the earth, the land, how God made the water, the sky, and mankind. And we want to start this concept that God, he created us. We are not here by chance. We are not here by accident. But we are here by God, who he is the creator. And he is a personal God. I met with Pastor Jim Hayes, and I spent time with him. And he told me that he disciples the people in Surin, in northeast of Thailand, just going through the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 2. By doing that, many of them have come to conversion, have come to Christianity. They begin to understand we are not here by chance, but we are here because God has created us. And salvation, the Bible tells us salvation, Christian salvation comes only through believing in the work of God through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. So Christian salvation comes only through believing in the Son of God, the work of God. This is the word of God and is marvelous in our eyes. So God's love was clearly demonstrated at Calvary when Jesus Christ died for us. Salvation is found in Christ's sacrificial death on the cross for us. Apart from our good deeds and merits, we cannot earn our salvation by doing good. It's by grace and by faith in Jesus Christ alone. I remember many times in chapel hours, Bob Jr. III, he said this, one of the sole sovereign thought is that people are dying and going to hell. So we must have this conviction that people are dying and going to hell. And what are we going to do about it? We have the answer, the Bible and Jesus Christ. And we need to tell them about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think God has put us here on earth for a purpose. He wants to save us and he wants to use us for his service to tell other people about the love of Christ and about the joy of Jesus Christ. And I want to make my conclusion tonight from Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the altar to the unknown God. I believe Paul's methods of evangelism can be applied, is applicable to the Thai culture. When the Apostle Paul, when he was ministering in Athens during his second missionary journey in Athens, he observes among the objects of idol worship an altar to an unknown God. The Athenian people, they were worshiping a God they do not know. It is estimated that there were about 30,000 idols in that city. And the Apostle Paul, he stand up and he began to preach about Christ by using these objects of altar to an unknown God. So the Apostle Paul, he took these observations of their religious worldview and he uses as a starting point this altar of worship in explaining the gospel message to the Athenian. And because of Paul's clear presentation, so when witnessing to Thai Buddhism, we must have a clear gospel presentation to them. Who is God? What is sin? But because of Paul's clear presentation of the gospel, it challenged the Athenians to respond appropriately to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, in like manner, I want to see this kind of response happen in Thailand. That the Thai people will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life after they having heard the presentation of the gospel being preached to them. So I will want to reemphasize again that the Thai mission field is ripe for harvest. And I believe that we're going to see a big, great harvest in Thailand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we must understand that in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, we must understand that our mission is to open the eyes. It said that to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. In presenting the gospel message, we must realize that we are dealing with spiritual warfare, spiritual darkness, and cultural worldview, spiritual darkness in belief system that is deeply rooted in animism. And this task of evangelism is almost impossible. We cannot do it by our own strength. We need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit because the God of this world has blinded the mind of the men. They cannot see the light of the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can open up their eyes, illumine their eyes. I praise the Lord that I was exposed to Christianity when I was young in the state at Faith Baptist Church in downtown Baton Rouge. A Christian lady took my two younger brother and I every Sunday. and I was exposed to Christianity. And I came to faith when I was 18 in front of the LSU's Union Center when another Christian lady approached me. She excitedly said, "God who created the heaven and the earth, he loves you. Just open up your heart and receive him." I don't have much knowledge. I don't have much understanding of the Word of God. But I believe the Holy Spirit has opened up my heart. And I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart by faith. And I confessed my sin. And I can accept Jesus Christ into my heart. And after I've done that, I feel God's peace into my heart. And the heavy burden has been lifted off. And my burden is light like a feather. And I praise the Lord that God has saved me. From that point on, I know that I'm a Christian. And God not only called me, saved me, but he called me into the ministry of his Savior and Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 4, the Bible says that in whom the God of this world had blinded the mind of men, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Christ of God, should shine unto them. So the gospel is a light that is to shine into our heart so that we can see the glorious face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It will be a tremendous joy one day we will see Jesus Christ face to face. The glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord that God has endowed us, his Holy Spirit, as his first fruit procession in us, in Christ Jesus. And the gospel of the God of this world has blinded the mind of men. So the people of this world cannot respond to God positively to salvation. And they cannot respond to God to salvation by their own strength. But they need a special work of the Holy Spirit of God working into their heart in Christ Jesus. And I want to make my conclusion here again. Prayer. I believe the answer is prayer. The gospel message also needs prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, said, "Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond." So pray for an open door of ministry. So the Apostle Paul here is not praying that God will open door of prison door, but he's asking God to open door of ministries. So praise the Lord that Thailand, the door is swung wide, and the Thai people are becoming more open and receptive to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Thai mission field is already ripe for harvest. And the second one is pray for more worker. Pray for more worker. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the workers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth workers into his harvest." So Jesus made it clear that the calling and sending of missionary is the work of God, because God is the Lord of the harvest. But our primary task is to pray that God will call and send people after his choosing. And we can rest assured that if we pray, God will send out people. And we must remember that God, he is the Lord of the harvest. And we are his worker by his grace. So I thank the Lord that I have this privilege. I'm very humble that God has called me into this ministry to spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior and Jesus Christ. And lastly, I want to quote from David Livingstone. He is a famous missionary to South Africa, to Africa. And he wrote this: "God send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. And sever any tie in my heart, except the tie that bind my heart to yours." And another quote from David Livingstone. He said, "I would rather die in the heart of Africa rather than to be on the throne of England." So I would say similarly to David Livingstone, "Lord, I'd rather die in the heart of Thailand rather than to enjoy the comfort here in the state. So I'd rather go back to Thailand, to my home country, with the gospel and Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your interest in us. And I will see you again tomorrow, and I will present my PowerPoint presentation again on Wednesday. Thank you, Pastor.